Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to protect and to guide us, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, the world is full of so much going on, and I'm excited to see it. There is big events that are on the edge of happening, and some of it is just so wonderful, and some of it is just full of chaos, and we don't know what is going to happen in our life, but we seek understanding to see what will happen. We look at history and get a good idea of what just might be normal for the times we are in. We want peace and safety. Oh, yes, we do. Just like 1 Thessalonians 5:3 talks about peace and safety and then sudden destruction. Now, we know that all these are possibilities because there are repeating patterns in history. But we really don't know what the reality of the future holds. So, right now, there is a war of words going on, both in our country and in other countries. People have different opinions and they want different things. So there are discussions and arguments. And we are grateful that we are not having the chaos on the streets of America as much as is going on in other parts of the world. We can see on different continents there is chaos and life is not peaceful. In fact, there is hostility going on. We can see the patterns, and so we know that if it goes on in other countries, we know there can be chaos even in America. As we bring people into America who have different beliefs and different habits, well, there can be a certain amount of disruption going on right here in our very own land. We want to feel secure, but with differences going on, there can be conflicts, especially if we don't have that certain love for our neighbor, certain love for everything that is around us, starting with God. Oh, yes. So there are things we can do to have a little preparedness for what might go on, just like it is in other parts of the world. There are shortages of supplies, of food, of electricity, shortages. Everything has a certain cycle to it, and we try to understand it and prepare as best we know how. I have had people say that we don't have anything to worry about because we know Jesus Christ. Well, certainly, in the spirit, that is so very true. But in a worldly way, we still live in this world, and we have things going on a physical, on an economic, on a political basis that are just going on all around us. Often enough, it is with conflict. Often enough, we see, well, more than debates. It can even turn into fights that are in our legal system or fights that are even in the streets. You see, that's going on all over the world, fights in the streets. Could it happen here? Well, if it happens there, we know that it can develop into something happening here. And still we ask for God's mercy and protection. Of course, I think about many parts of the Bible. Just now, there's Hebrews 4:16, where it talks about, "Come boldly to the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy." And yes, at this time, we certainly do want mercy, but people think about coming boldly to the throne of grace. Is it to present your own desires, or is it to present a request for mercy? You see, everything has a difference in how we look at our approach to God. So we must examine our hearts, examine our mind and our words, and also how we interact with other people. And we certainly do want grace. Well, we need grace, and we ask for protection. And yes, Lord, we certainly do, as we pursue a peaceful life and a spiritual direction all around us, actually, that brings Jesus to other people so that they may have salvation. Lord, yes, Lord, guide us. We have things going on in this earth all around us, and we pray for God to share a path, an answer for us. God's word is full of wonderful understanding, and as we read and pray, we get more of that understanding. So how to deal with the things around us, too. Even the conflicts between people, the conflicts between nations. We have stories that help us to understand and help us to act according to God's will. Because there is everything in our world. Everything is wonderful, and everything is terrifically difficult. And it just kind of goes from one to the other as we continue through life. The world has joy and the world has pain, all of it. And what do we orient towards? Let us remember the joy of the Lord. Now, there's some things that are just plain hard to hear. Some things about God's judgment is hard for many people to hear. And there is a certain amount of pain when we follow Jesus Christ. That can be hard to hear also. And I think of the pastors who just talk about love, love, love. Well, that's good to talk about, but there is another part of the Bible, and it exists that, for instance, Hebrews 10:26, that there, when no more sacrifice exists for sin, then what? We have things that the Bible tells us a whole story, but it is up to us to seek it out as we listen to the pastors and the Bible teachers. We study and we get understanding. And it might not be what our first hope and desires are. Now, I think of Jonathan Edwards in 1740, how he talked about sinners in the hand of an angry God. That was his preaching. He preached it all over New England. And his preaching caused America to have a revival, starting on the East Coast. But that message was preached, and people would seek the holiness of God. I think that would be good for every one of us to seek the holiness of God as we seek the full understanding of God's word. Read Scripture. Read God's word to us, His Bible. Now, some of it is easy to understand. It's just so obvious. And some of it has more to it. I mean, we all love to hear a message of grace. And we might have a different feeling about a message of holiness. We might have a different feeling about a message of judgment. And somehow we have the whole Bible to study and get an understanding of as we seek Jesus and have anticipation for our eternal glory. So what are we personally looking for? Is it God and His righteousness? Is it glory and the joy of heaven? Well, we each have a different part we orient towards, but we want to orient to what it is God, through Jesus Christ, has for us to understand. And there again, there's every part of the Bible that we can pick out verses about what we would like it to say. Romans 10:3, that we must seek the kingdom of God first, and then other things will follow to us, blessings. Matthew 6:33, that we are to live in holiness, seeking peace and justice and obedience. Now, it wasn't peace. It was justice and obedience. So there are parts for us to hold in our mind and in our heart to understand what it is that we can seek God for and how we live. As we come face to face with people around us, and one day we will come face to face with our Lord and Savior. At the end of life, it will happen. So we think about how to consider all that is in front of us as we deal with life and God's righteousness. What would God have you do? Does God have a plan for your life? Oh, yes, He does. And are we listening? Are we willing to obey and follow God's plan for our life? So often we think of our own little desires and we want what we want. We all understand that one. I certainly do. I've wanted things and I've pursued things, and yet I know that we have an eternal reward when we seek to do the will of God on this earth. We learn more about the reality of God and His sacrifice through Jesus Christ for us. And it is sweet and pleasant. But there is another part which we might want to overlook, which is God's righteous judgment. And here we are trying to understand the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think about Philippians 2:12, where it says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling? I thought God was a God of love, and He is. And yet, He talks about fear and trembling. Why? Because we have heaven and we have hell, and we want to live in God's good pleasure as we go through life. Obviously, I'm not the one who judges you. Jesus is the one who judges you as we pass into the next life. So, we know that there is scripture that tells us about what to do and how to do it and to be faithful to Jesus Christ. So, yes, the Bible is all about love, 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 love. Yes, but there's also righteousness. There's also judgment. And there's also obedience to God's will. And somehow, we just deal with all of it as we're trying to understand the righteousness of God and how to, well, I think of it in terms of how to obey His will. Because I think of, again, there's that fear of God, righteous and holy fear, when we think of, oh, well, I think of Matthew chapter 7, where He is telling about the narrow and difficult path to life. And the broad path, you know, like a highway that leads to destruction. So we want to choose the narrow path and not the wide path that leads to, well, destruction, which is so widely said is a highway to hell. So, we all get to clearly decide what we are going to do in life as we seek out God's will and then how to actually do it on earth. Sometimes we even do it pretty good, we think, but somehow we have to examine our mind, our heart, and what we actually do as we seek the will of God. Now, there is plenty of things going on in life around us that can cause us to have confusion, that can cause us to identify with something or other that is ungodly. Now, I think of how do we identify our path away from God, which really is unbelief, which really is sin. And what are we doing? Are we doing something? Can we identify something we do as sin or even a thought that we have as sinful?
I remember once in early in my walk with Christ, I identified the things that were sin, and I went through an exercise of identifying them and in my mind putting them on a pile right in front of me and saying, I will walk away from these things in my life. And that's what I did in that exercise that helped me to walk away from the things that were ungodly. I put these things down in a pile. I turned around and I walked away and never looked back at that pile of ungodly sin. So I know that was something that was a benefit for me to do. I don't know what will benefit you, but it is a thought of how we can approach whatever is in our life. Some things get to be a habit, just a habit, and we follow the habits instead of pursuing heaven. So yes, 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 let us pursue our godly habits that lead us to heaven. As we deal with the things right here on earth, life has so many things that are just taking up our time, our mind, and our attention. Oh, we think of these things just plenty. But we want to make sure that our focus really is on God through Jesus Christ. And I think of what happens as we pursue God or pursue life, the things we want to pursue. I think it gets pretty clear as it gets to the end of our life. As we know that the end is approaching, then everything becomes clear. I just say that because I remember my car accident and how there I was sitting in the car, pinned in the car, knowing that because of the blood loss, I didn't know what would happen. And so it became pretty clear that this could be the end of my life. And I know that there's plenty of people who actually do reach the end of their life and they don't have those few minutes to understand the relationship with God. So look for it now. Pursue God before you have those last few minutes of life in front of you. Everything we know, we can put into an order, and we can know what is expected and what is unexpected. And yes, we want that wonderful relation with God. Oh, and with our neighbor too. Yes, we do want to have the things in this world have a good and wonderful reflection on our life and in our life. Well, plenty of things go on. There's plenty of people who have a wake-up call, and we can be grateful for the things that show us that God is real, the Bible is true, and we want to pursue our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know what'll happen to you. I know there were things that happened to me, and we all have a path that we get to pursue Christ, and we get to pursue the people around us to tell them about the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell it to all the world and pursue heaven. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. Certainly tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us. And the longer we live, the more we see that there are surprises in life where we have people we know that we thought were going to live longer, and they don't. So we know if it happened to them, it can happen to us. So keep that in mind for pursuing your relation with Jesus Christ. Get close with Jesus and look forward to meeting him instead of being in fear of what might happen. Repent today and seek holiness. Yeah, the longer we live, the more we see how true that is. Pursue godly love. Love God, love your neighbor. Those are Bible instructions. I think of what kind of people are around us in life, and some of them are just so wonderful, and some of them are full of love of Christ, and we get to see that reflected in how they live. But we know there are people who they have all sorts of troubles, and so we still have our love for them. Well, we could have people who we're close to, and they still have troubles because they are pursuing something in life. Prayer makes a difference, and that's something which I think we all want to do. Certainly, we all want to know that somebody is praying for us, so let us pray for other people. Whether it's an obvious person like a political person or a pastor or someone in our family, how about just someone we meet on the street, walk past? How about the ambulance going by? How about that driver who was actually rude? And we can say a little prayer for them that they find Jesus Christ. You see, that's what we can do as we go through life with all the events in front of us. The events that are talked about in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. War, rumors of war, famine, pestilence, earthquakes. Well, we know that there are little hints of these things happening right in front of us. We know as we look at the world, these things are happening. We know that there's hostility between countries and nations. I just heard a general from Iran say, "Our finger is on the trigger to initiate war." And we know that Russia and China are supporting Iran's military against to bring force against the United States. So here we have war and rumors of war. We can see that the Bible is bringing us truth. And we can see how there are politics going on across the world. Some of them are to diminish America and the people of America. There are politics going on where people have an opinion about what's going on with, just think of the conflict, wherever it is. Cuba, China, Venezuela, Taiwan. Yes, there are just conflicts waiting to develop into greater conflict. And somehow, we can know that conflict could happen to our life and our country at any time. And somehow we just are blind to, maybe we're not blind to it, but we just don't see the things that are right in front of us that are going to encourage a country or a leader to choose one thing or another. Oh, an example of that is what's going on in Iran. Why, look who is aligning with Iran. Russia is, China is. They all have their own purposes to do that. Sometimes it's to sometimes it is to be a problem for the USA. Sometimes it is to strengthen their grasp or their politics, or their economy inside of that country, especially Iran. Iran has things going on. I know you can look it up. How do I know it? I know it by looking it up, not by actually seeing it. But Russia is building a railroad from Russia to the ocean at Persia. And so this is something we really don't see because, our media doesn't tell us. But you can look it up and find out, Russia is building a railroad to have a warm access to the ocean, the Persian ocean. Yes, so they can have trades going on through a warm weather port, where they can get out and trade with the world, or bring oil into their country, or gasoline, anything. It's something that is going on, and somehow we just don't see all the connections, but the connections are there. Are we going to look? Are we going to let the military and the political people look? Are we going to trust their decisions? Well, sure we are, because we don't have a lot of choice in them. But we do have a little choice in what we're going to do to prepare for ourselves and our family and our people around us, our neighbors. And that's what we can do. There are reasons to prepare for the conflict that is going on, and we can be quite sure will intensify. It's a pattern that has gone on in the world over the decades. We see conflicts increasing, whether it was a war that developed, go back to Vietnam, or sure, go to the present day wars of Russia and Ukraine, or of China and their people around the interests of China. So there are wars, there are things that are going on, and we have a chance to identify that there is conflict, and conflict could quickly come to our country, just like it has come to countries nearby us or countries we trade with. Are they in Asia, in Europe, in South or Central America? Oh yes, we see the conflict. We see the violence, and we see the people who are standing up for righteousness. What happens to them? Sometimes they are heard and make a difference in a country or a law, and sometimes it just makes no difference whatsoever. I remember different protests, certainly around COVID, but before and after that too. There could be 10,000, 50,000, 100,000 people protesting in the capital of one country or another, and did it actually make a difference to change the outcome of laws in that country? Very seldom. The people who are in politics seem to do whatever they want to do. And we, as people who are a part of that country or this country, just get to understand this is the way it works. So we might not be able to expect any politician or any political people to protect us or provide for us. No, sometimes we have to provide for ourselves with what goes on with wars and politics or countries, or what about just plain natural disasters? Natural disasters are happening all over the earth, and the scientists tell us about what could happen. They can talk about volcanoes and earthquakes, and that can be very normal to what goes on in our future. So we have the earthly, scientific point of view, and we have the scriptural, spiritual point of view that talks about natural disasters, famines and earthquakes, and all the things that accompany those kind of natural disasters. So we know that these things can happen, and in fact, they are forecast. Yes, by the earthly scientific people, and yes, by the spiritual Bible kind of person. So it just makes sense to me that we get some preparedness supplies together. And you know what they are for you, because we all have a list of desires. We all have an amount that we can spend on preparedness. And somehow, we get to figure it out. If we're going to buy a can of soup or 25 pounds of rice, are we going to buy cooking oil or salt and pepper? Somehow, it's something we all get to figure out for ourselves, because we know In history, there have always been times of trouble and people who have needed food. Will that be us? Will that be the people we love? Certainly. Certainly it will be. And right now we have a chance to do something to protect against the famine, the disease, and the earthquakes that Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us are going to be on this earth. So just think about if you have a storehouse of food and goods, that might do you and the people you love much good. So you get to figure out exactly what to do. Everybody has a list. Well, no, not everybody, but I do. And I make that available if you send me an envelope. So there are people that are in government and in organizations. That might be a clinic, it might be a corporation, but there are an amazing number of people who have a preparedness list to give out for free. I remember when I was looking, it was people from people from counties or governments to people in corporations where you could get a list. Even the CHP had a list. So there are people where you can get ideas and put something together, but you're the one who has to do it. Certainly there's not enough to go around. You do need to store up. And even if there is an organization like the Red Cross or your state or federal government, they have to buy what they need before they give it away. So if there's going to be shortages, it sure would be a good idea for you to get a few things together. We are vulnerable to certain things in life, and we want to protect ourselves. We all have a different idea for what to do and how to do it. But the people who have been to other countries or the people who have come from other countries to America, especially in Africa or Asia, they understand shortages and they understand violence. So we can learn from the people around us about how important it is to get prepared when we see trouble around us. You know there are cartel gangs around us. Yes, right here in the USA, and right in neighboring countries, there are gangs and violence among many different peoples. And we want a chance to survive the trouble that is coming. So let's recognize what is really around us and what could really impact our life. Do we know what it is? Well, we know some things, and we know there's always something we can do to get a little bit prepared. It can be the simplest things. Rice and beans. How about a camp stove? How about the little simple supplies that we want to have? Salt and pepper. Toilet paper. Paper towels. And there's no end to what it is that we can think about putting a little bit away in a box or in a 5-gallon plastic tote with a lid. Everybody has a different idea about what they can do. But you know that if you do nothing, you will have nothing. So let's look and see what we can do to put a little bit away. For all the things that we see around us, I would say that are ready to bring trouble to our life. You know, it can be trouble with organization or trouble with politics or trouble with war, trouble with drugs. Now, that's a lot of people are affected by the drugs in this country. Oh, and yet so many Americans refuse to believe that the drugs can impact their life. Well, it does. As somebody you know, or somebody who works for somebody, has their life or their children affected by anything, by cartel violence, by a drug that kills somebody, as the poison goes around? Yes, from China. Yes, through Mexico and South America. Oh, there's even reports of it all coming through not all, but some of it coming through Canada, through other countries. Yes, we have a lot to deal with. And I don't even know how to start to tell you, because it is so much and so entrenched in our society. People who die every year from fentanyl-related deaths, poisonings, is it 10,000? Is it 50,000 a year? Is it 100,000 a year? The numbers are all over the place, and they are supported in one way or another. But any way you look at it, a lot of people are dying when they really ought to not die. And part of it is the people who bring drugs into the country. Part of it is we people who want to have a drug to affect our mind and our body. It's all something that we're dealing with because we have people around us who we love, and they are having troubles, tragic troubles, in many ways. So we get to see what to do about it, and a lot of times we are really not sure, but we certainly do not like the people who are getting affected by violence and by death. I think we want to stay a little prepared. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? There were the Catholic bishops who warned the citizens of Mexico to stay in their homes. And of course, they talked about what you would need to stay in your home. Should I say water, food, and warmth? Yeah. There was also a question of electricity staying on, or if you needed to have a defensive item with you. Do you need a stick? Do you need a knife? Do you need anything else? Well, that was implied. Well, it seemed like it was more than implied in that message by the Catholic bishops to people in Mexico. Well, America has things going on, and that includes the violence around us in our life. Now, it's not like Mexico, it's not like Iran, but it is still violence that can touch every one of our life. It can hurt a lot. So let's keep protected for us and our innocent family. We need to know to be aware of the things around us and actively avoid the trouble that goes on around us. Now, there are lessons in the Bible that tells us how to stay protected and how to avoid trouble. Always a little bit different, but if we do not have it in our mind and our heart, when a trouble comes along, we want to pay attention to it. I think of Isaiah 31:1. For the people that put their trust in might, you know, the strength of the military, for instance. That Isaiah 31:1 says, put your trust in the Lord and not in the strength of your walls around the city, not in the strength of your army. But I think that would mean an active faith of putting our trust in God on an active basis. Not just say, oh, Lord, protect me. Yes, to say it is one thing, and it gets us ready to do it. So, yes, say it. Yes, do it. Yes, pray. Yes, understand how you can live in a godly way that is with wisdom. Wisdom to protect yourself and your family. I think of the miracles that have happened in the Bible also. How there were walls around the cities. And yes, I know Jericho 6:1 where the walls of Jericho fell down. I know how in 2 Kings, an army disappeared overnight. 2 Kings chapter 6 or 7, where the army of Samaria simply disappeared overnight. So where God has different ways of protecting his people and answering prayer. And somehow we want to honor God with our life and be faithful to God as we live. And I hope you would say, oh, there's somebody we want to preserve their life because they are living for the kingdom of God. That's what I hope we all will do. Well, throughout Scripture, we are told to understand the Word, believe the Word, and live the Word. Now, it doesn't exactly say it the way I just said it, but the examples right in Scripture tell us to understand and believe and live according to God's will. There are many examples given, and if we see the people who have been, well, they're called heroes of the faith because they have done things on earth to live according to God's will and to be a missionary to another country. So these things go on. And yes, we enjoy the wonderful stories. And often enough, we do have doubts. We do have, well, think of doubting Thomas, how he said that he would believe if he could put his hands in the resurrected Christ's wounds. And Jesus came to him and said, Thomas, do you want to put your hands in my wounds? That was John chapter 20, verse 27. So we have things going on where we can have examples about how to live. And that's something we want to have strong faith in Jesus Christ. And we learn from examples right around us, examples in front of us, examples in the Bible. This is another good reason to read the Bible and remember it. As we believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the testimony of the people in the Bible. So remember all the things that it says. Remember, well, I think of preparedness again. So we have our preparation that is spiritual with a knowledge of God. We have our preparation with Bibles because Bibles and hymnals help us to orient to God's word and worship. And we have the things that remind us just plain in real life to keep our faith or to ask God for his help. We have words that are recorded all through the Bible, and it helps us to grow our faith and to say, yes, Lord. There's people who in the Bible have grown their faith, and we get to have their examples as we study, as we read and study the Bible. It's what we want to do, to get to know God through Jesus Christ in every situation of life as our faith gets stronger and stronger. Yes, Lord, God is all-knowing, and he knows everything through time, and he gets to understand what we need to strengthen our faith, our loving faith of God through Jesus Christ. God gives every person an understanding, especially as we seek our Lord in word and in our mind, our heart, and our deeds. Yes, Lord. God has told us to follow Jesus, and we do have a choice. See, every one of us has a choice. We get to decide, are we going to follow Jesus? Are we going to read the Bible to understand God? And we have this choice. God gives us this choice to follow him or to follow our own desires. And these have eternal consequences. Where are we going to spend eternity? Are we going to be obedient to God and love him and show that we will follow him? Well, we have a choice, and we get to see what we see in life. It makes me think of, well, just everything that's going on today in politics, in the world, in natural disasters. There are things that are going on, and somehow we get to choose. Are we going to follow Jesus Christ, or are we going to do what we want to do in the very minute we want to do it? We have decisions to make. We can talk about them, we can seek to understand, but we have to make the decision. Will it be our own will or God's will? And then we get the eternal consequences of our choice. I think of Christ's compassion to people. It's in Matthew chapter 9 where Jesus talks about his compassion to the people. He talks about a sheep without a shepherd. And so there are things that we learn as we read the Bible, as we conform to the will and the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29. So there are things that we get to learn. How are we going to conform to the image of Jesus Christ? Sometimes there are just wonderful things going on in life, and sometimes there's just quite a lot of trouble and even confusion, but we get to decide as we understand more of the Bible, are we going to live with wisdom, with godly wisdom? We each have a choice, and I hope that we each make that firm, best decision to follow Jesus Christ. As we remember godly principles, to love God and to love our neighbor. That's a part of what we do in life. In this world, there is some pretty serious trouble. There are lies. There are trickery. There is things that is just plain misleading. And we know it because we see it, or sometimes it has been done to us, and we know we don't want to get tricked again. So we stay closer and closer to Jesus as life goes on, life continues, and we make decisions, decisions that influence our eternal life with God. Oh, or where we're going to spend eternity even. All of it makes a difference as we deal with the events that are right in front of us. Events of this age, where there are natural disasters, there are wars that men cause, there are volcanoes and earthquakes, there are famines, there are troubles between people. All this is going on, and somehow we live day to day in a way that we seek to live rightly according to God's will. Yes, with holiness. And yes, we seek the will of God as we go through life, day by day, month by month, year by year, as we are full of desire to have the holiness of Christ in our life. But there's troubles. Oh, look at the troubles around us. In human history, there are troubles. There are conflicts. And somehow, we all get to figure out what normal life is all about. How are we going to eat? How are we going to have relation with people? And we know that there are patterns that repeat. And whether the patterns are a day or a month or a year old, we know that there are reasons to stay alert and watchful and to learn from the things in the past so that we can make holy choices following God through Jesus Christ in the midst of everything around us. And sure, they can be, the earthquakes, for instance. Oh, the earthquakes. There are things going on in the world which I want to look more into before I talk about it, but if you listen to scientific people or hydrologists or people who study geology and the earth structure, there are things going on in the earth that are making pressures, and pressures are getting released as water levels increase and decrease all around the United States. Now, there's enough information that I believe this is happening. Even if the Google and the government are not talking about it, there are people who are talking about it. They seem to have a position that would recognize why the water levels are changing, why the underground water reservoirs and such as that are, without explanation, increasing or decreasing. And I think of the 1811 and 1812 New Madrid earthquakes, where the witnesses talked about the water of the deep shooting out of the ground in huge torrents. And this, of course, how do you say of course? I say of course, but with the continental plate shifting and the water aquifers under the earth, how they were released, and that's something which I think is going on right now. I'm just looking for a little more information before I talk about it. But at that time, 1811, 1812, there were fountains from the deep that were opened up. There were places where swamps were drained and swamps became formed again. So there were all these things that happened. I think of the Mississippi River running backwards for a few hours. That was a huge continental underlayment that shifted. Can you imagine that huge, mighty Mississippi River running backwards for a few hours? These are things that appear to be at hand, and if our earth really is shifting to such a degree, we will want to have emergency provisions. And I don't know for how long, but I think about, we all need a little bit of food, a little bit of materials, a little bit of water, food, and warmth. Do you have sleeping bags? Do you have something to keep warm? Do you have matches? Do you have a stove to cook your food on? There are things that every one of us has a good idea that we ought to have in our preparedness kit or preparedness chest, whatever you want to call it. So have a look at what is in your area and what you could decide you might need. Whether it's as simple as salt and pepper or as complex as tools to fix your car. After all, we don't know if there will be gasoline in such a disaster. There just are questions, so many questions. And now is the time to prepare before there is a real disaster, especially because we don't know what it would be, but the Bible talks about it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke talks about earthquakes. And so what are we going to do? Well, I do encourage you to look, and I do have my little preparedness paper, which I'll send to you gladly if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Of course, I'm always glad to get donations to keep this broadcast on the air. And I hope you think about being a part of a community, whether your community is the little area you live in, or your family, or your church family, or something. Because somehow, if we have a time of difficulty, we are going to need people around us to help us. We're also going to need the plain things, you know, ordinary, like salt and pepper, like vinegar and baking soda, like cooking oil, like a coffee, like a cast iron Dutch oven with a lid, or matches. All these things are things that you can think of and put together in your little kit. Well, until the next time, I certainly wish you well, and God bless you as you look at the things we just might have happen in the future. God bless you, and thank you for today.